You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. And we're at the top of the hour. Let's do a quick top of the hour starboard leaderboard update from the CCA Texas Star Tournament. All right, looks like two tagged reds have been caught in the red tag division. One is pending polygraph, but the other was caught by Gary Merchant of Houston and weighed in at Marina Bay Harbor. That's for the Ford truck, Haney boat package with Mercury and Coastline trailer rigged out real nice. And blue tag division, two are weighed in on that. One is pending polygraph. The other's been confirmed. Now, that was Steve Isaacs of Lake Jackson. He weighed his fish in at Surfside Marina. And real quick, sheephead leader Enrique Rangel of Houston weighed in at Linda's Beach, you know, Sylvan Beach bait and tackle over there, a 9-9. That's the leader for now. And the leading gaff top is a 6-pound, 1-ounce caught by Justin Morrison of Lumberton. That was weighed in at Sportsman Supply. And Black Drum, Sue Lee, an 11-10 of League City. Sportsman Supply weighed in there also. And offshore division, the Hawk Power offshore division, Daniel Grunewald, a 56-pound, 15-ounce ling. That was, she's a Freeport, and that was weighed in at Surfside Marina. So that's your Star Tournament leaderboard update for now. And we'll wait the next week and see what we can get out of this week's of fishing. See if we can get some more of those tagged reds weighed in. Great prizes. If you're not entered, you might want to sign up. Seen a few tagged reds already caught, and they were not entered. Big disappointment. All right, let's head down to Corpus Christi now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb, and see what's up with him. Cliff, good morning, my friend. What's going on?
Morning, Mickey. Hey, oh, bud. Good, man. Hey, on those redfish, when you catch one, do you can cut the tag off? Do you have to bring the whole redfish
yes,
in?
Yes, what I do is video it or photograph it. And just snip the tag off with a, you know, pair of side cutters or scissors.
Yeah.
And don't drop the tag in the water.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Put that fish back in the water. And feel froggy, just go ahead and keep the red and get the tag out of it and secure that. And go have you about $150,000 half redfish on a half shell.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's eat your good. Prize.
Yeah, that was good.
What do you feel like?
Yeah.
Hey, if I caught a tag one, I'd just cut the tag off and throw it back and say, man, Mr. Redfish, you were good to me. I'm going to let you live.
Yeah, me too,
you know?
Man.
Heck yeah.
Just hope you don't lose the tag.
Don't lose that tag.
Golly, man. But it's all good, Mickey. I can't believe it's been 50 years since Jaws came out. We had to watch Jaws last night. I go, man, I can't believe it's been 50 years.
I didn't watch it. I've got my grandson this weekend. I was preoccupied with him until the Astros game come on, and I said, hey, go find something else to do. I'm watching the Astros. So.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. No, it's good.
But no, I've
it's
seen good. Jaws a million times, man.
I know it. It's
I
crazy.
Can watch it again. You know, it's kind of like Forrest Gump, other movies. You just you got to watch it again. It's great.
That was a game changer. That was the best of ever, man. But
boy, that kept a lot of people out of the water for years, didn't it?
It killed a lot of sharks too. I mean, people went on a shark.
I heard somebody call into a talk show yesterday and said, "Man, I've been a surfer all my life, and I've never watched the movie, and I never will because I'm still going to surf till the day I die."
Oh man, golly! Oh, it's been good, Mickey. We had a bunch of bad weather coming Monday. It rained 8 inches down Laguna Mont. Rained 5 inches here at my house. But
well, that's
we
good.
Had a heck of a storm. Heck of a storm come in, you know, early Monday morning, like 3 a.m. And man, it just, God, I cannot believe how bad that storm was. But what it did, it just covered the whole Laguna Mont with floating grass and brown water. So I take off Tuesday. You guys want to go Tuesday? I got four guys. And, man, I just can't believe how brown the water is everywhere. It's just like super heavy rainwater. I'd go
just
into a little spot of green water. Just in that big dump and rain. It was 65 mile an hour winds, too. We had 65 mile an hour winds.
Oh, Lord. No wonder.
No wonder
you had all that grass floating everywhere.
Yeah, oh, Jesus. My God. It was just – Tuesday was tough. We fished a lot of water, covered a lot of ground, and was hard to – you know, the first place I pulled in from and catching all these big trout, it looked like river water, just super brown and – no bait. You could just tell it was dead. I think we got one or two blow-offs and pulled the plug on that and kept moving around and went way south down in the cut. And the cut's just flowing. I mean, the current's got to be 20 knots. Just crazy
good
from all
Lord,
that.
Lord, man, that current you know, flows through there.
It does, buddy. And when it's like that, the only really game you've got is top water. You can parallel the edge and fire top waters against the drop-off and try to get something going. And we caught a few decent fish in there, a lot of little ones, and then we had the massive blow up, this incredible blow up. It turned out to be a 35-inch red that weighed 15 pounds. And that fish come up about 3 foot from the plug and hold back out of the water and just pounced on the top of it like a train wreck, you know. But that was something, you know. So that was about the only thing there. We moved around and we fished all the yard one. And it was fish, but not good fish. Just dinks, you know, just maybe a keeper here and there. But
right. Nothing
like I've been catching, you know. I know the big fish are in there, but... the big problem was the amount of grass. We just couldn't get anywhere. And so the last place I fished, I pull in there, and one of the guys, Kyle, a really good fisherman. He's like 80 years old. You wouldn't know it. He's just in really good shape, can wade fish, and good fisherman, you know. And he hooks a good fish. I go, finally, we got a good fish. It's digging down. I go, man, this can't be a trout. It's not coming to the top. It's taking drag, you know. And I go, well, it's a big flounder, you know. So I get in. He pulls the line up, Mickey. It's about a 5-pound gaff top. I go, no.
Oh, Lord.
The curse is on from now on. I'm Captain Gaff Top. So, man, I mean, you know, he broke the curse of never catching the gaff top down here. You never catch it now. So,
I know. I don't think down in your system right in there,
never.
You know, where we always fish, I've never caught a gaff top down there. I
never caught one either in all these
salty
years.
For him.
Now, we caught a couple in the older years of course, Christie Bay or up there, but never way down Laguna Mont. And it was a stud, too. So I pull that thing out of the water, Mickey, and they're slime. They're slime like 2 foot up that line. I mean,
right.
Unbelievable. And I cut the leader. I just took a pair of scissors and cut the leader off to let him have the whole thing. The reason was last week my buddy Barry was wade fishing, and he was up in Port Aransas or somewhere up there where they got gaff top, and he caught one. And he reached his hand down there to wipe the slime off, and he hit that fin, that top fin, and that fin went into his palm of his hand. So I said, man, I'm not going to even mess with that beast. God, that's a scary-looking creature there, bud. So I just cut it and made another leader. I didn't want to mess that leader anyway with that slime on it. But
right.
I don't know what you guys do when you get in those things with all that slime on the leader. You just wipe it off and keep on going.
Yeah,
huh?
You just take your index finger and your thumb and grab the line and just slide it down. And to the end by your jig head and then slam it in the water and it comes off and keep on chunking, buddy.
A slime expert. The trick to get de-slimed.
Hey, I'll tell you what, this stuff will do in some fishing line. I put up a rod one time I loaned out. I think they were using spinners and somebody had caught a gaff top the last fish of the day and we didn't clean it off that leader. And over the little swivel and up on the base of the braided line and everything. Hey, the next day, it was like wire.
Really?
Yeah, you got to just cut it off and retie, put a new leader and everything on. That was nasty. That gas top slam, something else, buddy.
Oh, God. So the next day I got a trip on Wednesday, and the guys that got on Wednesday is the guys I've been surfing with for 40 years, and this guy travels all over the world, been to 8 different countries surfing. He's a great surfer, and we've never fished together. You know, he's 72 years old, and he says, one of these days I'm going to fish you to Webb. And so, man, Bonnie, he gets his nephew to come down and from Colorado, and he's bringing a 6 or 7 weight fly rod, you know. And I called him. I said, hey, look, man, fishing's horrible. I need to let this water settle down, let this fresh water get out. I said, my bite's way off compared to what I've been doing. It's nothing. And it's supposed to be sustained at 35 miles an hour on Wednesday.
I saw that.
You know, I'm trying to reschedule the guy. I'm trying to save him some pain here. He goes, nope. He says, we're going. Nephew's already flying down from Colorado, and we're going no matter what. And I says, well, the playing field's going to be short, and I'll do what I can. You know, James, it's going to be tough, you know. So all night long, I'm sitting there thinking about, man, what can I do different than I did the day before? And I'm thinking, well, the only place I got is that east side where I found a little bit of bait, and we caught a few fish in there, but we didn't get in there early on that sand. So the next morning, I pull in there, and I pull way up on the white sand. I mean, way up in, less than knee-deep water where I run aground. You know, I bumped until I run up the totem on, aground. I mean, I went way up in there.
Yeah.
And I got these two guys, and I told one, well, just one of you guys maybe fishing along this drop-off here on the edge and see what's going on. And one guy get middle area, and I go way up against the shoreline, way up in that super, super shallow sand. And by this time, it's getting a little bit daylight. As soon as that light started cracking a little bit, the bait started popping up there shallow. And I'm talking, Mickey, I'm talking about less than knee-deep. I mean, maybe 18 inches of water. So I'm thinking, there's probably a bunch of drum up there tailing or reds or something. Those bait are spooking from those reds, you know. And I get up there, and as it started getting light, I just stand there, walk about 10 feet, stand there. I look down right in front of me, and there's a big old trout laying there in the sand. He's about 10 feet away from me, and I just freeze. And the water's just cloudy enough from all the bait moving there. It gets dusted from the bait. He didn't see me. And so I sit there, and she just slowly just swims away about 20 feet from me. And I don't make a big swing. I just push the button in and kind of like do a little flip with that Laguna Shrimp paddle tail, you know, and it just airdropped it right in front of her, you know. And as soon as I clicked the reel in and just give it a little jig like that, I see her open her mouth and just smoke it, you know. And so I set the hook, and she just starts rocking in that shallow water, you know, and I can't believe I got a fish this shallow. And my other guy's over there about probably 60, 70 yards, a little deeper out. And I got her, and I says, hey, man, come in front of me, because when this fish was fighting, she spooked out some because I saw a bunch of big weights pull off the shore. I says, get over here where I am, man. Let's let it get a little bit lighter. So he pulls over there. We stand there for 20 minutes and let it get light where we can see real good. We don't make a move. And I look down, and there's another big trout laying there. And I says, you see that trout right there? He throws out there. He catches a 27-inch trout where we didn't move, you know. Because we didn't spook that bunch of pot of fish that were there. We didn't walk through there and blow them out in the grass. We left them on the sand.
Right.
And so he catches that fish, and then the other guy was way off, and he's a big gold spoon fisherman. You know, he just loves to fish a gold spoon. I look over, he's hooked up on a red. So, man, I said, man, at least we got something going on here, you know.
Right.
And so make a long story short, Mickey, we stayed up in that sand all day, and I caught one that was 28 inches up in there, a real nice trout. Weighed about, weighed 6 3/4 pounds up in there. And I look up and I see this big trout floating dead. And I go over there, and its fish is right at 32 inches. And it had a big old prop mark right in its head where somebody had ran over him running down that shoreline.
That's terrible.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's going to happen, man. Especially when you got these boats now that are running 60, 70 miles an hour through the flats. Fish can't get out of the way.
No.
You know, I'm sorry. It's not like a 35-mile-an-hour boat like the old days.
You know,
they can't.
Used to when you'd burn, everybody's going like 20 to 25, and you're looking, you'd see those fish just move out of the way real slow.
Yeah.
Just
they can't get out of the way
now. Stop.
Yeah.
Not anymore, buddy.
No.
Good Lord. Let me knock this break out, Cliff. Hang on, I'll be right back at you, man. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Real easy to find. They're right in downtown Belleville. When you get there, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. It's so good. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And their pecan smoked sausage samples, they're available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. Homemade hot dogs, original with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. So let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And they're introducing their new Chuck Wagon patties. That's half-pound beef patties seasoned to perfection and loaded with cheddar cheese. And try their grab-and-go snack products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and their dry sticks. They're just incredible. And wild game processing, they never close. They're open all year round. That way, if you're harvesting exotics this time of year, take them to the Belleville Meat Market and try that new sausage recipe. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville Meat Market's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:21 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back, man.
All right, buddy. It's had a little shower go through earlier. Waiting to go to the beach all day. I'm gonna hang out. We got a bunch of stuff in the freezer. We're trying to get out from, you know, when it gets closer to hurricane season. We try to get a lot of some of the deer meat and deer sausages out and start cooking it, so we don't have to, you know, worry about the losing power during the storm season, losing all the stuff. So we try to eat a lot of stuff on the beach. So we got a bunch of guys going to come out the beach today, and we're going to try to fish it and surf it. But, man, we've been spending some time on the beach. I spent, I guess, Thursday all day with my grandkids on the beach. And I tell you what, Mickey, trying to fill them up, it's just unbelievable. What they bring their friends with them. They bring their friends with them. And, hey, man, try to bring enough food when they're playing in the surf. You know, they're surfing, they're running up down the beach, and they're coming back to the truck and eating. It's just like you can't get enough in an ice chest. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of rain above you this morning, you know, up around Rockport area and all that, and moving inland. But man, there's a lot still down in Mexico. It's, you know, coming in out of the Gulf, and or actually Bay of Campeche down there, and training into Mexico, which is.
Yeah,
I was hoping it'd come up the coast a little more. I hate to rain on your parade, but, you know, dump some more water on you
guys.
We
need it. We need it, man. We need it. You know,
I think the only thing it's going to save Lake Corpus Christi is y'all are going to have to get a tropical storm sit on you for a day or two and just fill that lake back up.
Oh, no, I know it, man. It's terrible. You know, and it's just amazing what that – when we get it, it was like when I went out on Tuesday morning. It just – it rained so much in a short period of time, it messes everything up. But it goes away quick, so – on Tuesday, I had lots of brown water, where on Wednesday, it actually was clearing up and getting green, and things had changed a lot, but still not normal. But, of course, the day I'm off, you know, yesterday was dead calm, beautiful. I'm sure they caught some fish yesterday, but
I was just looking now at that yesterday. Yeah. I was looking at all the winds up and down the coast, and right there at the Badlands, it was 10 miles an hour out of the southeast.
Going, said, God almighty.
I said, boy, I hope Cliff's out there rocking out on them.
Oh,
man.
No,
working
no.
Deep
I'm
rocks and catching pigs.
Oh, man. It's going to happen eventually. You know, it's it's crazy how I keep records of how little time I've been able to stay out there in that 5 or 6 foot of water, you know, throwing suspension baits simply because it's too rough. You just can't do it when it's rough. It's just too dangerous. So it's
same
eliminating
here,
what I'm
man.
Doing.
There's a lot of places, you know? I'd love to be fishing that 6 to 8 foot of water and catching a lot of good fish, and it's just not happening right now. It just won't lay down for us. So I can get out there and do it.
I know it.
It's aggravating,
the beach,
man.
Yeah, the beach fishing is killing me. You know, the guy that fishes the rocks all the time, Bob, I talked to him, my jetty guy, the guru. He says, man, I'm having the worst year ever. He says, I've been walking down them rocks practicing all year long. He said, I ain't really caught anything. He's been practicing all year long, man. He fished 5 days all day long with a fly rod, throwing it out, trying to catch a snook or tarpon on that fly rod. He goes back home and does it again the next day. But when he hooks up, buddy, he'll hook up. It'll be a good one. You know, he's a real
He's a grinder.
He is. You know, that's what he does, though. He gets up, you know, he doesn't have a boat, and so he just gets up in the morning. He just loves to fish those rocks. But,
you saw that group text the other day Hudson Moon sent you and I and asked about the size of broken backs y'all used to throw. And that's
I look at five and a half inches.
5 and a half.
Yeah, I look at all those things. I go, man, I got boxes full of that stuff. And they work. I think he's going to go all – I think Hudson's going to throw all old school, you know.
I started I was in my tackle room last night, matter of fact, and because my grandson wanted something out of there, and we're in there, and he's looking, you know how kids are, looking through all the baits and all that, and there he goes, I have some hanging up on this big mirror I have in there where I just stick the hook in it and just let them hang down.
Right. Yeah.
Retired lures. And he goes, you caught fish on all those? I said, every single one of them, man. Look how they're all butchered up. And there was a black back, orange belly, gold side, red fin, broken back hanging up there. And it was just, I mean, there hardly wasn't any paint left on it. It was mostly bone looking.
Good.
And
good.
I said, feel of that. Feel all those teeth marks. He was interested in that. He said, that's what the trout teeth do. I said, yeah, they tear you up, man. Look at that bait. That's made out of hard plastic. And it's tore up.
Oh, gosh. And you
but that brought back that memories when Hudson sent us that picture. I'm looking at it.
I know. It was good, wasn't it? It was good.
How many giant trout have we caught on those back in the day, dude?
Oh, gosh. And you look at the bill on them, like the little bill that dies down. You can tell the people that fishes the rocks. So all the bills have little dents, little chips in the bill from bumping the rock.
Yeah, bumping them rocks, yeah.
There's no rocks, so you can tell. You can grab their bait and take your thumb and feel it. Go, you've been fishing rocks, huh? You know, but if they're fishing sand, they're nice and smooth, you know. But when you're bumping, we throw those things on the backside of the rock and reel it up to the backside and let it float up. And then reel it real slow to the top, like that foot of water. And then right when it came up, they'd burn it, and they would come out there and just smoke it. You know, it's like a mullet coming off top of those rocks. And, God, that was fun, you know. But and the jerk baits we see, those thunder sticks. I remember when those thunder sticks came out, just a straight thunder stick. And you could just throw them out there with a low rod tip and just jerk it a couple times and let it flash. And all you see was a big old silver side come out and just smoke it. You know, that was really something, you know.
Boy,
it's amazing how much
we used to throw them. You know, that you could get them to dig down. You could get them deep.
Yeah.
And if you pumped them real hard and worked them fast, And we used to do that drifting out of the boat back up in the pocket, mm-hmm. you know, in Jack's pocket back in the fall. If you weren't throwing one of them, you were watching the show. And, I mean, all the fish coming off of those versus soft plastic were twice as big.
I mean, oh, that's so funny you said that.
Because pounders just annihilating them.
You know, when I get tired now working soft plastics, all my joints are hurting, my shoulders and everything. So
right.
I'll put a double D on or something, a hard bait uh-huh. that I can just throw and have a lot of, you know, not have put. And I put a double D on the other day, and the difference in fish were unbelievable. I didn't catch near as many, but, bam, when I got a hit, it was a good fish.
Yeah.
It's just funny how sometimes you can go to that harder bait or a bigger bait or a mullet imitation, and even though you're catching a bunch of dinks on plastic, there's one or two in there just watching that stuff go by, you know. So I do like fishing that bait when I'm tired. It's a no-brainer, you know. Like Lo Odom, my buddy that makes that bait, I said, Lo, how do you fish that double D? He says, a lot of us, he said, I throw it straight out, turn my rod to a 45 and slow roll it and just kind of twitch it a little bit. Boy, that seems to really work. It seems like when you stop it and it starts to sit there for a second, they'll just knock it out of your hand, man.
They will.
Cool bait. But that is a bait, though, that I tell you what, you really got to pay attention because that bait will get you, buddy. That there's something about the shape of those baits that when you're grabbing fish and stuff, it's just, man, it's just,
yeah.
it just gets in your hand. You really got to watch them. And I try to use my Boca grip when I deal with those. They'll definitely pop you in the hand. And I have a lot of my people tell me that they use the big one in the surf. I think Bobby Gunther told me he uses that big double D in the surf a lot down there.
Yeah.
And this year I'm going to try it. It's just, you know, trying to find a calm enough day to throw a double D. It's just like, God almighty.
Yeah,
crazy.
You got to up your rod size and, you know, go
yeah.
to stiffer
yeah.
rod, fish that bait. And
mm-hmm. I got a guy call me yesterday.
I throw, man, I'll hook myself in the butt throwing one of them. You know, some of the light, fast tip rods I throw, man.
I know it, man. But when that water gets real clear and you downsize, those buggy whips really help you throwing that smaller bait. Though,
they
you
do.
Know?
They do.
So
man.
I've got a little bit of both. It gets a time down here when those glass minnows come in, which is any time. We got glad. There's going to be a little time here in the next few weeks where those glass minnows are going to show up. Mm-hmm. And, man, you better downsize. You don't get something going on. They'll be sucking those glass minnows, and you'll be throwing them there, and you won't get nothing until you go down something really small, and you'll catch them.
See, we have a lot of glass minnows and, you know, real tiny ones in, like, the late winter and early spring. And that's when mm-hmm. I downsize and go to, like, that the Lee, or, you know, even.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That Lee did work
tail,
good for me.
You know, something like that. And for whatever reason, pink is just, I mean, from like December to early April, pink is, you can't beat it. Whether it's a hard mm-hmm. bait or, you know, a soft plastic. They just mm-hmm. they just suck it up.
Well, you know, did Robin send you that new flamingo pink from Bass
Pro? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Man, that's a beautiful bait.
Yeah, that's what I call those, that's what we side-casted all those fish on.
Wow.
They just smoked
using
it, man.
The,
he looked like
the rat tail or the paddle tail?
No, the paddle tail.
Yeah.
You know, and I rig it with a 1/16 ounce lead head. And,
right.
You know, we're throwing really, and that's another thing. You can't make a big splash with a big lead head in that sand. So you're really, you know, most of the fish you see, are you don't really see them until you get close. It's just weird how they disappear, and you stand there and stand, all of a sudden one of appear like 20 yards away or 15 yards away. But if you're sloshing and walking, they're feeling the movement, they're feeling the vibration of your feet, they'll stay up in those little grass pods. So what I like to fish on big trout are ambush fish, so they love a grass line with sand all around it.
Yes.
And so they'll lay right against that grass where the you know, the bait can't see them, and they got a whole field of sand to watch, you know, and they'll see that bait come off, and they'll dash out there and get it. Well, if you're sloshing around, they'll just ease over there in that grass and just let you go on by. You know, you'll never see them with that black back. They get in that grass, Mickey. They just disappear until you wake them out.
Right.
You know, but if you'll stay in there, you look down there, and all of a sudden you see one come out.
You'll see him push come up out over against the stand.
Yeah,
stand, that's right.
Yeah, and you kind of shuffle up there and get in cast and distance, and he disappears. It's really a fun game. He disappears, then he comes back again. You know, then the second time he comes back, he's facing you, can't throw. He's looking right at you, like, oh man. You know, that I see, I was watching one of my guys doing a lot of arm movement. He was spooking the fish out until I talked to him. But you can't do a real hard side, you know, a real hard whip side. You got to do a little flip, you know, where they don't see a lot of movement. But anyway, it's a fun game to play, and I'm looking forward to that this summer. And that was a good thing about that, the day we went on Wednesday, all the burn boats were not running the shoreline because everybody canceled because the wind was 35 and nobody was really fishing. So I didn't have that traffic burning down that shoreline.
Well, and fish and were in there tight and relaxed.
They were in there tight and relaxed, you know, but you never know when you get there in the morning at, you know, 6 o'clock and you know how many boats have run down that shoreline that got there before you, you know, going south or something, ran down there and blew your fish out.
Well, it stirs them up, scatters them out everywhere, and then when you do find them, they won't bite because they're all nervous and messed up.
And
that's something to take into consideration down that way, man.
Yeah.
It really
and what
is.
Happened to those cool nights we were getting, you know, a few years ago, 75, 72, 73 at night would cool down. Now the lows are in their 80s at night. And so I'm not seeing the fish come up on the sand yet. So hopefully the water temperature will get hot deeper and it'll get cooler, shallower when we get these cooler nights. I hope this weather pattern changes because it's not good for sight casting, you know.
No, it's
those
not.
Hot mornings are not good. It's not good.
Well, it's, I mean, every morning for the last 8 or 10 days coming in here, it's like 84, 85 degrees.
Yeah,
that's the middle of the night. Nuts. That's just nuts. And and then the hard wind blowing, you know, it blows even harder during the night and it just blows that warm air into the water. And I mean, all our water around here is 85, 86, 87. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, too, Mickey. That's
same
exactly
same
what I'm
down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's just nuts.
All right,
man.
Let me do this break, and I'll come right back.
Bye, buddy.
Hang on, man.
All right, Mick.
Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse, Croakers, and they're located right at the base of the Tech City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, their bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live that bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. I really like that system. No noisy aerators or anything like that, just pure oxygen. If you need more info on it, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their great seafood and great prices, whether you're looking for the big 912 wild-caught Gulf shrimp. There's no farm raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught. And check those out. They always have good deals on those. And they're still getting a few crawfish. I know it's winding down, but Boyd's has always got them most of the time. Check them out at boydsonestop.com or you can call the store at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:38 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff. Well,
all right, buddy.
Has y'all surf even been calm this year yet?
No, I just had like 2 days. It's just not even crazy. It's just, and you know, usually by May, I'm smoking them in a surf, big fish. Yeah. And I'd have, you know, and the fish that we've caught the few days are just full of eggs. So they're, you know, they're in there and it's just right. Can't get them. Just can't get them, you know. You got one spot along the edge of the rock, but you got so many people standing there, you know, with bait. You really can't throw lures because you got lines out everywhere. You really can't, you know, walk the dog down the rocks or anything. It's just too much people. But
yeah,
it's all good. But I was going to tell you, my Bates reels are holding up so good, Mickey. I'm so impressed with those reels.
I'm impressed, man. So far, so good.
I think a lot of it is that machine body, one piece like that. I'm getting the same distance on my cast as they get older. I'm still smoking my cast. You know, they're not right. Shortening the cast up when the frame bends a little bit. But so far, I've put the acid test to them. I got a lot of fish under those reels right now, and drag and everything's holding up. So pretty impressed.
Yeah, I didn't. I got back from fishing down there, and I didn't wipe my reels down. And I'm fishing with one the other day, and I'm going, man, what feels gritty? There's just a salt crust on them. I didn't wipe them down, but they never missed a beat. No big deal.
They'll get splashed on in the console, just the rod sitting there, and you're coming in.
Oh, that boat ride we had back that afternoon with Rihanna, man. Oh, God.
Yeah, I bet it. I bet they got a little wet.
Everything got wet.
Yeah. And the time you get them home, it's like someone poured, your reel is like a margarita.
Yeah.
It's got salt all over. You can lick it with a lime.
That's the saltiest, nasty stuff I've ever seen down there.
I love it. I do love it. I do, you know.
My it's waders, cool, so I can just stand them up in the corner like they had starch in them.
Yeah. It's so funny. I'll take my wading boots and I'll take them off in the boat. And the last thing I do is I dip them in the water to wash the shell out of the feet. So the next day you put them on, you don't have shell in there. Right. I tuck them in the compartment. They look like a glazed donut when you pull them out the next morning. It's just like covered in salt. You know, you could hit them on the boat and, you know, you can get enough salt to put them in a margarita. But that's what big trout like, you know.
Well, y'all are the ultimate field testers down there. If it holds up in Baffin, buy it.
I remember those reel companies said, well, we put a tablespoon of salt into a gallon of water and dip the reels in it. And I said, look, let me send you a gallon of Bath and Bay water and you dip those reels in there. Let's really test them, you know?
Yeah. You'd have to put about 4 packages of salt in a bucket.
Salt in there.
To equal Baffin. Golly.
But I mean, it makes your lures work so much different, too. It's just crazy how.
Yeah, it does. You know, a lot more buoyancy, you know?
Yeah,
you can actually get away with throwing a heavier head down there than you would think in the shallow water because of the buoyancy, especially with a bigger soft plastic, you know.
And that's one of our tricks here is to throw that double XL Little John with, say, like a quarter ounce. You can fire it out there a mile, and it still floats down, you know, softly above the ground.
Right.
You know? So, and it does work. You know, that's so funny about Little John's, how different the little one works versus the big one. That little one sinks so much faster and stays on the bottom so much more than the big one. You think the big one would sink faster, but it's more buoyant, you know?
Well, it's like the trout support. You know, it's like a fat Little John XL, you know. It's, boy, you get a lot of buoyancy with that bait, with that trout support.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
Good bait. Real good bait.
Yeah. And I got a great video the other day for the land cut. This guy's down the land cut with the lights on. I have never seen this many shrimp under the lights, Mickey. I'm going to send you this video. You could take a dip net and just hold it up in the air, and there'd be enough jump in that dip net to have dinner. It was just stupid. And there's millions of trout on the lights. And that land cut has just been full of shrimp.
Oh, I bet it sounds like popcorn bopping under them lights.
Oh, it's just incredible. And I remember when we were kids, you know, we had one of the only cabins down there, and we had those big old Stussy generators, and we turned those lights on, and about 30 minutes after dark, it would just turn black under those. It was just incredible. You know, nobody fished at daytime. It was too hot in the summer, so they just fish all night long, you know, low limit on trout, and they just bring ice chests full back and sleep all day. You know, they weren't, you know, it's funny how my dad and stuff and the old guys he around, the game warden stuff he hung up, they weren't after really big trout. The guys he hung with were, you know, chatter and stuff, but actually those guys like to catch numbers under the light and, you know, have a cold beer. They didn't want to get out there and wade. They want to, you know, let the fish come to them under the pier. You know, it's just a total different
well,
deal.
I see that the older I get. That's a pretty good way
you
to
like
roll.
That, huh?
Yeah, I
understand that too, you know.
Hey, I remember we'd take the kids down to Mansfield in the summer. Go down to Bob Houston's, you know, and stay with him and Fran. And
unreal.
We couldn't get them to fish in the daytime with us. We'd wake them all up in the morning. They said, well, we just went to bed. They've been up all night under them lights catching those little trout under the lights, having a blast.
Man. When Bob Houston came out with that, he's the one that came out with the mauler, wasn't he? The
Mansfield mauler.
Mansfield mauler. Golly, that was a game changer, wasn't it? Man.
I'm telling you. Remember when, you know, the fish were hitting it and going crazy on it, biting it all the time and tearing them up.
Oh, yeah.
So he painted some black thinking, you know, they wouldn't see it as much. It got
even better.
And then he came out and he put like a little stinger hook there at the bottom of that cork.
I remember.
Remember that?
I remember.
He'd catch two fish at a time on it. Crazy.
Oh, God.
Man,
I remember how they hit him, bend the wire up. But
yeah.
You know what it did? What it did for a lot of people, it saved you a lot of money because – you know, in the old days, we took everybody, tourists and stuff, that really never fished. So you were down to a spinning reel and a popping cork, and you were putting shrimp on their hook and helping them cast and popping it. Now you got a Mansfield mauler with a strawberry, you know, hoagie. Back then it was a hoagie strawberry with a pink tail.
Yeah.
And throw it out there and have them snap it, not having to change bait. So you caught more fish because, you know, your bait was whole the whole time.
It
wasn't a piece of shrimp or fished all the time.
You didn't have to worry about them slinging it off when they'd cast it.
Yes,
you know?
That's another thing. The shrimp would get soft, you'd string them off. But that really did help us in the guide business. And I'll never forget the first day I put them on. I had a Mayak, 21-foot redfish, super shallow running boat with a TRP on it. And I got those things out of the package, and I go, look at this thing. And Doug's been fishing them, you know. So he just put about a 25-30-inch leader on it. So I put a big old gumball head on it too, you know. And
well,
I took
it out.
They
could throw it farther,
They could throw it farther, you know. The first time was a real hard north wind, so I pull around a tide gauge, and I get behind tide gauge. I'm going to drift across tide gauge, you know. We put those things on, and it was Katie Bar. Every time they threw it out and snapped it, it would disappear. You know, I go, this is unbelievable. You know, and not having to change shrimp. And it was a good indicator because you take a tourist, you know, you try to throw a soft plastic. They don't know when they had a hit or it's grass. You're digging lead heads out of the throats of those fish. And this thing, when it went under, they got the fish, you know. So it really helped us out. That mauler was something.
And it had that clicking action, you know. And
now,
I mean, you don't see any of the old popping cork rigs like back in the day where you can got the stick in them and you can pull it out and adjust them and deepen it up. Now they just, they've got all this bling is what I call it, all these popping forks with all these beads and man, you talk about clicking and clacking and that's what everybody throws now.
I know it. God almighty, that's good. But we were laughing the other day, so we're down there, we're in a bunch of little fish, you know, just 13 to 16 every single cast, and we got these poor guys pile up next to us with bait buckets full of croaker, and I go, this is really going to cost you because the croakers are about 3 or 4 inches, and those little fish are going to eat them. I said, this is really going to cost you. You need to go somewhere else. I kept thinking.
Yeah.
I look back there, and this is bean-catching.
A dollar a fish.
A buck a piece. $1 a fish. I said, I think I'd stand here and look at us and see how many little fish we're catching. We're getting ready to move. I think you should probably move before we do. You know, but it was funny.
Boy, y'all are wasting your time. We're on bait stealers right here.
Oh, my God. You know, We have to move two or three times to get out of those. And it's so funny because you know those big trout are in there eating those little ones. I've had it happen just like last week, and twice in one day I had big fish come up and try to get my little fish off. So you know they're in there. But, man, it was so crazy on Tuesday how we just could not get into anything but dinks. It was, and we're into the bigger fish. We're in the finger mullet. You know, for some reason that storm and freshwater just shut them down. I think the trout
are so much
more resistant.
When I was fishing Wiriana, I reeled in a trout, I know, about 17, 18 inches long, and I got it about 10 feet in front of me, and I saw a wake behind it, and it was a big old trout about 7 pounds following it in. I said, he wanted to eat that.
It happens a lot here. It happens a lot, more than you. And the one I always remember, it's happened so many times, it was 15 years ago in the Intercoastal. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And we're working the drop-off in December when all the shrimp migrate out, and it's just tons and tons of just nice keepers and redfish and flounder. And the kids are back in school, and it's real calm, and we're just having a blast, you know. And guy gets a hit, little fish comes to the top, shakes, goes back down. All of a sudden, you see the rod load up, and it's taking drag. I go, I know what just happened. That little fish got eight. And we pulled that little fish up. We pulled that big fish up, and you can see his mouth closed around that big fish. And right when we get ready to put the net on the fish, he opens his mouth. And the look, how he killed that fish so fast. It spit it out, Mickey, and it came out, like he's already had it head down. It came out with his tail first and came out in a U. And I pulled it out, you know, and the fish was dead and almost scaled. It looked like a black dead banana, you know, just
plucked
in that
chicken.
Big old fish.
Not a feather left on him.
Oh, man. You know, he just let a bunch of oil out of his stomach and just, you know, and it's just amazing how fast he turned that thing around. I guess when he hit it, he came forward and slacked it and was able to turn it around in his mouth. But, man, that's a pretty quick thing how a trout can turn something that quick and get it down his throat. That's
I amazing. Know. You know, I think probably one of the biggest trout I've ever seen up here, you know, in Galveston Bay. We were out on the ship channel one summer, had a real hot whale out there. Whale number 163 Exxon whale there in the Eightlease area. And I'd run down there and get there at first light, and we'd slide into that whale, drift in, slide the anchor out, and we're throwing tails. And, man, I mean, we're catching what we thought were big trout, you know, 6, 7, and 8 every once in a while. I mean, some beautiful fish, man. And, I mean, getting limits by 8 o'clock in the morning off of that rig. And one morning I had, I had David Martin and all his crew. Do you remember Will Olmstead? He used to be real active with the CCA and everything.
Oh, yes, I remember him, yeah.
Well, he hooks a fish. And it felt like it came off, and then it just went to dead weight. And he said, man, I know I don't have an oyster shell on. I didn't let it go to the bottom. He said, I hooked a fish. Well, what he had done, he'd hooked a sand trout about 12 inches long, and this big, huge, monster gator trout swallowed that sand trout. And he's reeling it in, and I'm thinking he's got like an oyster shell. I mean, it was like dead weight. And he's winching in. I'm netting other fish and flipping them in the boat and everything. And when he gets up next to the boat, this trout came to the surface. I mean, not even 5 feet off the side of my boat. And it looked like a gar. That's how big it was.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, my God, let me get the net under him. And I went to reach out to get it, put the net in the water so he could slide it over there to me. And that trout just coughed that sand trout up. And then just swam off and just slowly sunk into the darkness. That fish had to be 36 inches long, maybe longer.
My God.
It was just amazing. It was like slow motion when it all happened. Everybody in the boat is just, you know, in awe. I looked at everybody and I said, I tell you what, I've seen a lot in my days. I've never seen a trout that big, never even heard of one that big. Mm-hmm. And that sand trout didn't have a scale left on it. It looked like a plucked chicken.
And he smoked it. Yeah.
He said, I knew I hooked a fish.
The hook was in the fish's mouth, so he couldn't get it.
Yeah, he had hooked the sand trout. Too bad the hook didn't come through the lip of that sand trout enough to hook that big trout. That's just bad luck, man. I mean,
don't you always think about what's really out there, Mickey? And I think about that.
Yeah.
Well, they found that 41-inch trout dead in Matagorda, 41-inch skeleton.
Yeah.
There's got to be something in Baffin like that. There's got to be one out there. You know,
I think they're everywhere, and it's just there's so many fish in areas you never get through them to get to a fish like that.
Well, yeah, and they probably eat at 1 o'clock in the morning, go up there and snatch them a 14-inch mullet or 2-pound mullet
and just hold on to it.
Yeah,
you know,
so that's a hard thing, you know. I saw one of my good friends has a floundering business, been floundering for years. You know, he saw one night. He was fishing in the land cut. He was floundering the land cut, and he said, "Lay in the grass." He said, "Cliff, I know that fish was 38 inches long." He said,
I believe it.
It came off the bank of that cut. And he says, "I've been doing flounder for 30 years. We've never seen a trout like that." So, you know, there's some absolute monsters out there. But to catch them, I mean, you know, can you throw it just like my buddy Bob that throws that big old 8-inch glide bait? You know, he's young enough to throw that thing all day long. But you try to, if you really want to catch one, you better throw a giant bait all day long, 360 days a year to get that one strike. That's kind of the way it works, daytime, nighttime. So many big fish are caught at night now. You realize that. It's just like, they're like deer. They become nocturnal. They're tired of all the boat traffic. They're tired of all the, you know, so they're in the middle of the night. They can snap something and pull off deep and let all that noise go by, you know.
How long was that trout down there? Remember when they froze it in a block of ice?
Yeah, 38.
38 inches.
My 16 gosh. And 3/4 pounds. That was in Bucky's Fish House. Yeah, that was crazy, man.
Lord,
and that fish was caught in 6-inch webbing. Those commercial guys would go for those big bull drums in February and stuff, and they would, big giant drum, they would use that 6-inch mesh for those drums, and that trout was in the 6-inch
mesh. Hey, for
mesh.
A trout to get hung up in 6-inch net, that's a big one, buddy.
That's a code, yeah.
Them little ones swim right through it.
Oh, yeah, you know.
We used to see that up here in the winter, you know, when the netters would really wipe them out, and I couldn't believe, you know, me and Pete and all, my brother-in-law and all of us had fished for big trout all winter long, waiting and doing all that stuff. We just thought we were catching big trout.
Yeah.
Man, those were schoolies compared to some of the size and lengths of these trout that we were seeing caught in the nets. Going, my gosh.
Yeah, don't you wish we had iPhones? I would give anything to video the front of those game warden boats when we came in. When I was a kid, I get to go with them, and they pile that webbing up in the front of that big old metal boat. And we would get most of the fish out with an ice pick that were alive, but the dead ones in there, and let people know how many thousands and thousands of pounds of fish came in those nets. It was just unbelievable.
It was incredible. I remember one year, I think it was in 77, 78, they flooded the market with trout up here where it went down to 10 cents a pound. They were catching many in Trinity Bay. And, you know, there were some netters, they'd catch, you know, 8 or 10,000 pounds in one night. In a set of nets, I had a neighbor, old Doug. We went over and looked at his catch one morning. He came in from running his nets, and he had all those back then. An 86 quart igloo was as big as you could get, and all those fish were bowed up in there. You know, and he had about 10 boxes of those, and I didn't see a trout under 27 inches. They were all 27 to 32-inch fish, piles of them. I'm going, my gosh, how come we can't catch just one of those a day?
I know.
And we're fishing where he's catching them. That just tells you.
It just tells you how hard they're to catch. And, you know, Mickey, do the parks and wildlife still sit out there sample nets, don't they? I just don't see them anymore like they used to.
Yeah. Okay. No, they still do up here. They do a fall and a spring survey.
Okay, I just didn't see very many this year. So usually I know exactly where they put them. Maybe they've changed or something, but I was wondering what they've got to say we've got a lot of trout. I mean, they've got to tell us we've got a lot of trout because
I'm anxious to see what the spring and fall surveys this year are going to be and, you know, whether they're going to change up the slot or the amount or what have you, but only time will tell. We'll see how that works out, but.
Yeah,
a lot of guys.
I'll tell you what, I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy what's going on. Yeah,
I'm happy
too.
And
people settled in.
We're on the comeback trail, and it's looking good. Nothing bad.
Yeah, the people that were whining about it now are kind of coming around. And go, hey man, you know we got lots of fish. My clients are really happy. Everybody's happy.
Well,
I'm getting big tips because we're catching lots of fish.
Yeah,
you know,
and everybody can get and limit out now. Everybody limits out. There's no whining.
Yeah, that's so important.
You got to have that limit, man. All right, Cliff. Well, good luck at the beach today. Y'all have fun down there. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing, how they get a hold of you, Cliff?
All right, Mickey. And area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate you having me on, Mickey.
Brother.
Have a good day, buddy.
Thank you, man. All right, later.
All
right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.